And I hope you'll pay special attention today to the lesson. Miss Smith was an old school teacher who had never married. And one day she was out on the playground with her students. She noticed that one of the boys in her class was making faces at other children. And she went over to him and said, "Bobby, when I was a child, I was told that if I made an ugly face, my face would be frozen in that position and it would remain like that for the rest of my life." Bobby looked at her and said, "I'm sorry, Miss Smith, but you can't say that you weren't warned." I hope you are a better encourager than Bobby was. Not every person is a natural encourager. Some of us need to develop skills of encouragement more than others do. But I do believe that each and every one of us can be and should be an encourager. One of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation of cheer has kept a man on his feet. "Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." That's the saying of William Barclay. I think that's so true, particularly of us who are Christians, that we have a responsibility, a duty, if you will, to encourage one another. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." I think there are a number of reasons why you should be an encourager. Everyone needs encouragement. I think that you recognize that in your own life, that when you are encouraged by other people, you do better. And I think that we need to reach out and be encouragers to others as well. Are you at your best when you are discouraged or when you are encouraged? And really, that's a ridiculous question because we all know the answer to that question. And yet, you're probably familiar with what I'm calling negative motivation. Motivation that is out of fear or out of guilt or out of punishment. You may have had some of that as a child. You may have given some of that as a parent. Parents, teachers, coaches, band directors, and yes, even preachers sometimes use it. You have probably used it on other people, and you've probably had negative motivation used on you. It may have worked for you or on you, at least temporarily. But you will never thrive on discouragement. Discouragement may cause you to die, but encouragement will help you to fly. Yes, all of us need encouragement. And maybe it is difficult for some people to be encouragers because an encourager has to have a servant spirit. One who is willing to serve other people without anticipating or expecting anything in return. And that's the kind of people that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be. And yet, it is sometimes difficult to do. Have you ever seen an implosion of a building? It takes only seconds to demolish a building that required months or years to build. And it is the same with people. A misuse or abuse of the tongue can destroy a person's life and character that has taken years to build. When it comes to people, it is easier to be a demolition expert than it is to be a construction foreman. A discourager does not have a servant spirit. He delights in tearing other people down to try to make himself look better. And his demolition expertise is an attempt to bring other people down to his or her own level. And yet the difference is that an encourager will go out of his way to lift the spirits of other people. It's not always convenient, but an encourager will go out of his way. He's unselfish. He doesn't wait to be encouraged before he encourages other people. He has no ulterior motives, no hidden agendas. He is simply a servant of Jesus Christ. William Arthur Ward had these words to offer us: flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you. Think of people that have encouraged you in the past. And you can still remember those words of encouragement or that pat on the back, because we love to be encouraged and we need to be encouraged. That's the way that God made us. When you are one who encourages other people, you might be what we call a chip off the old block. That phrase is used to describe you when you look like or when you act like your parent. And I think that many times if you're brought up in an environment of encouragers, you will be more likely to be an encourager yourself. If you're brought up in an environment of discouragers, you're more likely to be a discourager. However, we can overcome that and we can become encouragers. Paul described Christ as the image of the invisible God, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. When we see Christ, we see his Father. We see the Father of all, the God of all. And in that same letter, Paul described the Christian as one who puts off the old and puts on the new. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's what we are to be in Jesus Christ. We are to be people who are renewed on a daily basis. We are renewed in the power of God. We are renewed in the strength of the Spirit. We are renewed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And it's not something that we just put on one time and then that lasts us forever, but it's something that we put on every day. It is something that is conscious, that we put it on even like clothing because we want it. In the passage that we looked at earlier in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17, Paul showed us the epitome of encouragement. Your Father and your Lord gave you eternal encouragement, is what Paul said. By number one, choosing you to be saved by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, isn't that amazing? That you have been chosen by God to be saved. Now, not in the sense that God chose you as an individual, but God did choose those of us who are responsible people to respond to the word of Jesus Christ, to become Christians. He gave us that opportunity. And he tells us how he gave us that opportunity in that same passage in verse 14, actually. He called you through the gospel that you might share in the glory of Christ. So who did God call? Well, God wants all men to be saved. But he called you and he called me to be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Even as we die to our sins, we are buried with Christ in baptism. We are raised to walk in newness of life. So we are called and we are chosen. And then he provided you with good hope and courage in your hearts and strength in your every good deed and word. How do we have the power to be encouraged and to encourage? It is through the power of God, through the strength that he provides for us every day. You know, there are some specific ways that the inspired word of God tells you to encourage others. The first is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. And it is through our corporate worship together, even as we have come together this morning to worship. There are so many people who come to a worship service because they want to get something out of it. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. We would be foolish to think that we could continually come to a worship service and get nothing out of it. But in reality, one of the reasons, and probably one of the main reasons that we come together, is to encourage one another. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to, notice, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Isn't it an encouragement to you to come together and to see your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's what we are to do as a family. We sing about God's family. We are to stimulate one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to love one another. I think certainly that is the responsibility of every Christian. You're encouraged when you come to a worship service and somebody greets you or somebody hugs you or somebody says, it's been a whole week since I've seen you. It's so wonderful to see you. That's what we are to be about as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we come together to encourage. Yes, we come together to worship, but we also come together to encourage one another. Notice, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, we are to continue to do the positive things that we're already doing, and yet look for ways to improve on them. Encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. I don't know what things that you can do to encourage, but I know there are things that you can do. As I was preparing this sermon this week and thinking about it, I told Becky, I said, we need to write an email to the members of Holly Lake and try to encourage them. And if you didn't get an email, you either don't have email or I don't have your email address. If you want me to have your email address, you can put your name on there and your email address, and I'll be glad to get it. That's one way. Another way is through phone calls, through cards, just lifting one another up. And notice what it says, encourage one another and build one another up. It doesn't say to get on the phone and tell somebody all of your problems. Now, that may be good once in a while that we need to do that and have someone to hear what our problems are. But I wonder what it would be like to just get on the phone and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. And I wanted to encourage you, wanted to build you up. I'm so thankful you're a brother, sister in Christ. There's so many things that we can do to encourage one another, and you have done one of them this morning by being here. Make certain that before you leave this morning, you encourage someone. You make certain that you speak to someone and tell them how good it is to see them here. That's your role as a Christian. To build up one another and to encourage one another. Thirdly, we're to teach all the truths of God in love. An encourager does not give false hope. An encourager does not give a false sense of spiritual security. You cannot compromise the truths of God and be a spiritual encourager. But we don't have to go around gloomy in our disposition, down in the mouth, thinking that the whole world is a terrible place in which to live, and sharing that with everyone else. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Look for the good in other people and praise them for it. And then we should encourage as many people as we can every day. We shouldn't confine it just to those of us who are members of the body of Christ, those who are part of God's family. We should be an encouragement to other people. If other people see us as encouragers, they may just want to know what it is in our life that causes us to act that way. Take care, brethren, that there be not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There are times that all of us that get discouraged. There are times that we may struggle with illness and we think nobody cares. Nobody's concerned. There may be times that we go through a spiritual struggle and we think others don't care. But I believe that when we start having those pity parties for ourselves, then maybe that's when we need to reach out to other people. Maybe we need to encourage someone else, not so that we hope we're going to get encouragement ourselves, but how many times have you been an encouragement to someone else and you came away encouraged? How many times have you visited someone who was ill and you went to share with them and encourage them? You came away feeling better. I think certainly all of us need to be encouraged. Have you ever watched geese flying south for the winter? They often cover thousands of miles before reaching their destination. And those in front rotate their leadership. And when one lead goose gets tired, it changes places with one in the wing of the V formation. And another moves up and flies point. By flying as they do, the members of the flock create an upward air current for one another. Each flap of the wings literally creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. And one author states that by flying in a V formation, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if each goose flew on its own. When one goose gets sick or wounded, two fall out of formation with it and follow it down to help and protect it. And they stay with that struggler until it's able to fly again. The geese in the rear of the formation are the ones who do the honking. The repeated honks encourage those in front to stay at it. It is the natural instinct of geese to work together. And I believe it should be the natural instinct of Christians to work together. Whether it's rotating, flapping, helping, or simply honking, we're in this together. And I think that as Christians, we need to understand that responsibility. Our God has encouraged us by choosing us to be His people. We need to encourage those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we also need to encourage those who are outside of the family of God, that they can become members of God's family as well and enjoy all the wonderful things that we enjoy in Jesus. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.